Forming a band with your friends, going on tours, dating a pop star, and playing the main stage of Coachella sounds like the plot of a coming-of-age movie that TikTok would grab a hold of and turn into viral clips with the captions, "I stan" and "goals." But it's real life for indie pop rock group Lainey, who had their first breakout hit in 2017 with "I Love You So Bad," off their self-titled debut album, Lainey. Lainey, spelled L-A-N-Y, is a nod to Los Angeles and New York, cities where the band members have lived and loved. Following the success of their debut, Lainey's sophomore effort, 2018's Malibu Nights, was an album spawned by the heartbreak of frontman Paul Klein's relationship with none other than pop star Dua Lipa. In the end, I'm gonna be alright, but it might take 100 sleepless nights to make the memories of you disappear. But right now I can't see nothing through these tears. Over the years, Lainey has worked with artists like Bozzy, Julia Michaels, and Kelsea Ballerini, the latter of which collaborated on the hit song "I Quit Drinking," which spent 19 weeks on the Billboard Hot 100 charts. Baby, you're the reason I quit drinking. We used to be dizzy all morning, hungover pouring cups of coffee black, kiss and crawl right back under the covers, down for another hour in that bed. Now I'm here instead, waking up sober. It feels kinda nice, except that I can't sleep at night.
And now Lainey is back with their new album, A Beautiful Blur. Is the Spout Podcast, where famous people spout off about more than what they're famous for. And today, that's Lainey.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Here's Eric Zachary.
Paul Klein, Jake Goss, Lainey.
Heck yeah.
This is very cool. We've talked virtually before. It was all like vertical. Like, I think you were both in your own cars, and I was dealing with one of those days where like internet doesn't work at home. No big deal.
Classic.
I've never followed my mother in an interview before.
Yeah. You got some big shoes.
Is your heart racing?
A little bit, man.
Yeah. She kind of ate you up, honestly.
Dude. Virginia. Well, yeah. Because I mean, when Mama's Boy came out. Please come close. I love you with all my heart, you know. I don't wanna cry, I'm bad at goodbye. If this is the last time, then let's do the things we always do. Like go to the mall and buy some shoes. I don't wanna cry, I'm bad at goodbye. If this is the last time. Let's talk about it. You know, that's something that obviously hit really, really home, I think, with anyone that can relate with that message, right? Leaving home, always being connected with your mom, never knowing what's coming next. I still talk to Jesus. Maybe I drink too much, falling in and out of love. There's been a couple times I've done a couple.
Talk to Jesus.
you know, that's one that just, dude. And we talked briefly in the past, but you being from Oklahoma and you being from Arkansas, my dad's from Arkansas, Northwest Arkansas.
Let's go.
My aunt is from Catoosa, Oklahoma, Tulsa,
which
Oklahoma.
Is so niche.
Yeah, dude. So like, I spent like Bible camp summers in Catoosa, Oklahoma.
Yes.
When you guys are on the road now that we have this beautiful Blur tour, where I think it was like 80 dates in total before we started, right?
It's so, I have no idea. I think we're doing like 90 now or something. Yeah, they just keep adding things. We just booked some summer festivals in Europe, actually, that we're so excited. So
congratulations.
I think we were going to have the summer off, but not anymore.
So with that said, you know, you guys have been doing this for a minute. We're not exactly new to the game. What small town quirks of like performing for back in those shows that you had like maybe 10 people in the audience, maybe part of those 10 people were your parents, are you still bringing to the stage every single day?
For me, just number one, just love of the game. We just absolutely love that we get to do it. So any chance we get to go play a show, it's just the coolest opportunity in the world.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the innocence is still there, honestly. It's like really still, it's like really pure still. Like last night we played this room in Indianapolis. It was rammed and amazing, but it was like, we've been to that. We played the smaller room in that building before a couple times, supporting other bands and then headlining it ourselves. But, you know, even right before I went on stage, I just was still like, just so kind of grateful and thankful and was thinking, you know, I don't know if we'll be back in this room again. You know, I don't know if we'll be back at the old National Center is what it's called. So I, you know, it was like I was just kind of thinking 20 seconds before going on stage, like, let's just go. And if this is our last time here, like, let's go for it.
I like the attention to the venues. I think that's something that's often not shared with the audience, unless it's, you know, a one-on-one discussion, because rooms do shape a show. And you guys have been played so many different types of rooms. Here in Chicago, you played Shubas, an old rock room.
You guys are just insane.
First time, right?
Yeah. Now you're playing, and that was like when the Cubs won the World Series?
We played the Metro.
That was Metro. Oh my God. So you're even closer to Wrigley.
Yeah.
And then now Salt Shed, which is, you know, for those that don't know, are from the area, you know, it's a brand new venue to Chicago, essentially. But you're playing rooms of different sizes. You're playing arenas. You have different sets, and you know, obviously the production changes a little bit too. Talk to me about the set design for this tour, because from what I've seen, man, I'm excited.
Thank you. We're really excited too. We worked with a guy named Shane Valentino, who does set design for movies. He did it for Nocturnal Animals with Tom Ford and did Straight Outta Compton. But it was his first time designing a set in the concert space, in the music space. And we went back and forth with him for a few months over Zoom. He lives in Brooklyn. And so what you see now is kind of an amalgamation of conversations from like 4 months for 4 months. And we flew him out to the LA show at the Forum.
Sure.
Because we wanted him to see it in real life. He's going to come to, we're doing two nights at Hammerstein in New York.
Yeah. Great room, by the way.
Love that room.
Yeah, iconic.
So cool. But it'll be a little bit of a different, like a rig for that show.
Does it adjust? You know, some venues are more narrow than others. 100%. Wow. Coming from a cinema back, you guys are literally bringing film to the stage.
It feels like that a little bit. Every time I look at the photos, I'm still like, I'm just like, I would hate to not be in this band. Like, literally, that's how I feel.
You have FOMO from your own performance.
I'm just like, dude, I'm so proud. Like, this looks so good. Yeah.
Hey, I'm Roy.
And I'm Maul.
and we're the hosts of the new Royal Mall podcast.
That's right.
I know you're probably listening to a podcast that you actually like right now, and we just interrupted it with an ad.
That's all right. We're here.
And I appreciate if you didn't hit the 15-second skip button.
Listen to our show where we cover topics like music, movies,
yes,
TV shows, which we love to binge watch.
Of course. Just lifestyle stuff.
And give out crazy stories about our day-to-day lives.
Yeah.
Check us out on the new Royal Mall podcast. Listen to wherever you get your podcast and let us know how you're feeling about our show.
And once you're done listening to this podcast that you actually like, maybe you could check us out.
When you're at a concert as a fan, all you can think about is the band, hearing your favorite songs, and the hope that the magic you feel listening to them at home or in your car will be replicated live. But you often don't think about the show from the band's perspective. That deep breath they take backstage in anticipation. That first moment they hit the stage and the curtain drops and they play that first chord, waiting to see if the audience will give them that same magic back.
Yeah, I mean, the videos I've seen, especially, I think I see a lot of like the end of show with the confetti coming down and, you know, you're going nuts, hitting every time possible, and you're on the catwalks when there's one available. What makes a good crowd in your head before you get the stage, before they react to anything, when you're having those 20 seconds right before going, man, I hope we play here again. Or if we don't, you know, let's make this the best. What are you listening for? What are those audio cues from maybe the opener or just like in that lull right before the opening cue?
I mean, sometimes you can hear how rowdy people are for this, like the support acts, and then you kind of know, all right, they're here to have a great time. But it is like, you never really know what to expect. We now have a curtain that the term for it is kabuki. I didn't know.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah,
okay.
It's called a kabuki drop.
When there's like a giant curtain that drops to reveal the band.
Yeah. We technically have three kabuki drops in this set.
Wow.
So we have a curtain in front of us that drops right on the first downbeat.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a curtain that's behind Jake. The middle piece falls halfway through the set that opens like, you kind of like look at the screen and then you have curtains on the side that kind of frames that.
Yeah.
And then at the very end, all the curtains fall down. But before that first curtain falls down, you really have no idea.
Can you see through it in any
capacity?
I've always wondered that.
I honestly feel like I'm on Love is Blind.
Really?
Literally.
We're in theater.
Yeah. Like I'm just like, I'm like, I can't see anything. And I'm just hoping on the other side that like that crowd is who I want it to be. But you know, I think what makes a great crowd is just when people are there to participate, and to kind of engage and show some signs of enthusiasm, you know, like, that's always the most fun kind of crowd to play to.
Sure.
Once a band has played Coachella and has been a mainstay on the Billboard Hot 100 charts, there's this idea that somehow they've become too far removed from the days of when they first started. Not Lainey, though. Still very much in control of every output of art from their band, if you get a response on social media from Lainey, despite their millions of followers, it's not from someone on their label or an assistant. It's usually from Paul Klein himself.
Let's get inside baseball just for a second, because you did bring up the kabuki. And when we first sat down, we're talking about the recording software and whatnot. You know, it's a known story for anyone that knows you guys going back to the Hot Light days and whatnot. You guys started with nothing. I mean, you know, you were doing GarageBand, you were using your phone, iPhone, Paint, whatnot, to make album covers and whatnot.
Yeah,
so what have you maintained? Even though maybe you have the resources now, it's like, no, this is just what we know. This is easier. What are some of those old school guerrilla ways that you're still using to make music, make production, visuals?
Totally, man. I mean, yeah, that's funny. I mean, a lot has stayed the same.
Really?
I still run our Instagram and our TikTok. It's a full-time job, actually.
Shout out to our social media managers, by the way, because that is no joke.
It's just not something I'm willing to pass off. I'm too opinionated. But like even A Beautiful Blur, that album art is just something I made on my computer. And hate it or love it, it's what we love and it's who we are. And Jake, you know, during that season was really like kind of like encouraging, and also he was just like, dude, not many bands 10 years later like still operate how they did, and stay true to themselves, like on day one, you know? And like, we're still like, the heart of Laney is still, like I said, pure. And it like, it's very much day one energy. And, so that's cool. Cause I think people kind of lose themselves over time. And, we just definitely still know exactly who we are. And we're like making our album art on like a 2015 Photoshop ripped file from like Pirate Bay or something.
Allegedly.
No, actually, I we got to deal with Adobe. I have creative cloud. I promise. I really do.
We learned in an old school way.
Yeah.
You bring in like an old Microsoft DOS, like to bring out the paint.
Yeah. But yeah, it's fun. We from day one, we still, if something just resonates, if it's something we love, where if it's like a GarageBand sound, we're not above that. We're like, if it feels great and feels right for the song, we're going to use it versus like, we got to make sure like a more expensive version. We got to make that sure that's the sound.
Sure.
We're not above GarageBand.
I love that.
And we're not above Dunkin' Donuts or Frappuccinos.
We're not.
Cause that's like a thing, you know, that's a spirit thing.
You didn't lose that when you moved to LA?
Absolutely not.
Not
bro.
The $15 order.
Chili's.
Dude, oh, don't get me started on Chili's. Jordan's off camera right now, freaking out. What's your Chili's order?
Triple dipper.
Dude, come on.
Here, let me show you.
Southwest egg rolls all day.
Dude.
Oh my God, Southwest all right. Egg.
You got Chili's tat.
No, you don't.
Yes, he does.
You have the same.
Yeah, we both do.
Jordan.
Yeah.
Matching tats.
Get Jordan on camera real fast. You got to see this reaction.
Yeah.
Do we do a Chili's tattoo now?
Yes, we do.
Our own version.
And, then a mom and son tattoo?
Yeah. We've been talking about it.
Yeah.
Come on. Guys, don't sleep on the chicken enchilada soup. That's the dark horse of the menu.
Talking about deals with Adobe.
Let's get this deal
with Chili's. Damn.
Let's go.
No, Chili's is no joke. That's wild. Okay, so now let's go to the other end of that spectrum real fast. Now that we do have certain resources to get kabukis, if we want them, you know, the drops, and we can reach out to just very talented individuals for set designs and whatnot. What's that next thing? Like, maybe we're not there yet, or even if we are, just not on this round from a production standpoint, a visual standpoint, maybe a music video that you're like, I want to do that. I don't know where it's going to fit, but we will get it someday.
That's a really good question.
I'll give you an example.
Very good
for me, because this is I'm never going to be in a world where I appear on a stage the way that you guys do. But I really want to come out of one of the, they're called toasters, where you pop up out of the stage.
Yeah. That Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Move. That's awesome.
Great question.
Like who would we want to work with that we think is like so out of our league, but we want to.
Yeah, I don't know.
It'd also be fun to have just like a actor we love in a music video.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Just someone we're obsessed with.
We could just brainstorm it for a second. Let's throw out names.
Ooh.
Like Matthew McConaughey or
Brad Pitt wants to
Brad
come
Pitt.
Through. What up, dog?
Yeah.
Michael Jordan, 23.
I drove to Chicago from Nashville on my 23rd birthday because I wanted to turn 23 in Chicago.
No.
Yeah.
Drop the mic.
I'm dead serious.
I want to.
I came up here with Spencer Noe. Let's in my go. Honda Element.
And my mom, who just interviewed right before this, because she's on the show, she was a Chicago Bulls cheerleader in the Jordan era.
Stop.
And I just lost them.
Let's go, Virginia.
I had a Michael Jordan cardboard cutout in my room, life size, my whole life. And I would put my piano medals around his neck because I'd have to do classical piano competitions. That's the household I grew up in. I tape my fingers when I play because of Michael Jordan and Dennis Rodman.
You would think we're only inspired by musicians, but we got a lot of Michael Jordan in us.
I love that.
Yes.
No. I'm envisioning you growing up. You know that scene from Home Alone where Michael Jordan's on the train going around because he's trying to convince like the burglars that...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Please.
Yep. Gosh, he's the GOAT.
My mom's just out here dropping names while we're mid-Laney interview.
So handsome. So much swag.
Yeah.
So well-dressed. There's one photo shoot that like... Like he, like in the blazer with the hoops, he is so
he's a good looking guy.
He's gorgeous. Yeah.
He really is. We'll end on this then. You know, last time we talked.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah.
You come up with a better out. Like, seriously.
Yeah.
Last time we talked, Paul specifically, but I know Jake, you were nodding your head too. You guys were just saying you're always so excited to make more music, even when you're in the middle of a cycle. I like that you just described it as seasons too. Mm-hmm. Where are we at in the music production? Does it happen at all when we're on the road, or do we try to avoid that because we're trying to stay focused in the moment?
It is seasonal. Okay. It's very much like rinse, lather, repeat mm-hmm. to a certain degree. And so we, because we do cram a lot of stuff into our time, like we're going to, right after this, we're going to go to sound check and then we're going to do VIP meet and greet, and then might have like an hour and a half to do something personally.
Yeah.
And then we need to start getting folks for the show. But so right now it's all about tour. It's all about the show. It's all about prepping for the show,
sure.
maintaining focus. But then there will be song titles, ideas, thesis statements, premise, song premise, like that. I'll keep a list in my phone. So when we transition from this season mm-hmm. to writing, that at least I've been diligent in preparation for that.
Sure.
So we are already, like, I think definitely thinking about what we want to do on the next album and how we want to sound and who maybe we might want to try working with or spend a week with.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
At the risk of trying to be that journalist, I'm not going to ask for any spoilers, but I think color schemes have a lot to do with your music. I just see different colors depending what era I'm in, what album I'm listening to. What's mm-hmm. a color maybe that we're thinking for an upcoming album project, whether it's the next one or not?
Ooh.
Hmm.
Let's get very Crayola.
Yeah,
with
yeah.
It
I
too.
Haven't. I haven't.
I'm seeing green.
Yeah,
here,
I was
gonna. I'm also seeing gold.
Okay. Yeah. Green and gold. Hey-o,
Michael Jordan.
They're literally referencing just the books that are on the table
gold,
right now.
Gold medal.
Well, Jake and I have a playlist right now that we share mm-hmm. of songs that we would like to maybe emulate.
Yeah.
And the cover of that playlist is a green monster truck flying through the middle of the air. And, you know, this is probably so subject to change, but it'd be cool to write an album called Soft, but like the album art is really hard.
Yeah.
Like a monster truck flying through the air.
Yeah.
In my head, it would be so dope if Jake and I were like in a monster truck arena and all the seats were empty, but Jake and I are just there and we kind of like have our hands up, but we're so small in the frame, you can barely see us. And then this truck is flying through the air, and maybe they're all just like really soft, like love songs.
As a cool. fan and friend, I want you guys to do whatever you want and whatever feels right. As a journalist and professional, please do that and let us have that exclusive. Guys, Lainey, this has been an absolute pleasure. I cannot
so
wait
much.
To see you guys live for the first time from me tonight.
Really?
I'm so Let's pumped.
Go. You're coming to a great one, bro.
I'm this excited, fun, man.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Paul, Jake, guys, appreciate the time.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
And we're back. It's been a minute since we've done a proper post-spout podcast interview conversation. But she's back from gallivanting around the world, Tamara Dia.
Hello.
Real quick, you were in Barcelona, Spain? Or
No, I wish. No, I was in, well, I mean, I was in Belgium. I was in Brussels, which is also cool.
I knew it was a bee. I got yeah. You know how close Brussels and...
one of the European bees, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah, no. Yeah, it was awesome. It was a really good little trip.
Well, I'm glad that you're back. We have a lot to talk about. We'll start with like the biggest thing in the room, obviously Taylor Swift. The tortured poets department. I still can't get it right. She put out 31 tracks in total. So it wasn't just one album. It was also the extended deluxe anthology that she released as well. Obviously, this has been dissected by line by line by line by not only music publications, but of course the Swifties. I want to get your initial reactions and thoughts before we dive into it, Tamara.
Well, I'm afraid to give my reaction and thoughts because Swifties are going to attack me. Look, I will preface it by saying I love Taylor Swift. Mm-hmm. I think she's wonderful. I've always stated this. All of her music sounds the same to me. Like
I
it, like a lot of her songs bleed into each other so much that I can't tell what's starting, what's ending. Like she's very formulaic, and it's not to say that she's not good. She is. Her formula works, but I would love to see Taylor do something different. Like, she's supremely talented.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And you know, I think there's a lot of very public mixed reviews coming out. Is, you know, this is a sad girl album, and that's great, but we've gotten so many of those from her with Folklore, with Evermore. So when you have this, I think people just at the very least wanted a little more variety. And her older albums had that. They would have the slow, sad song, and then they would have the bop, and then they would have the one that's more country leaning, and then they would have one with like an actual driving drum track. Jordan, who's my co-host on my show, described it. He started live texting me the morning of, and he goes, "This is like when white women think salt is spicy." And I can't not hear that as like the review.
That is hilarious.
Of Taylor Swift. Listen, are the lyrics incredible? Sure. No one is taking that away from her. She is an excellent songwriter. Okay, Tamara's a little iffy. I think a lot of the songs, obviously it's storytelling. It's told in first and third person. I think it's a little bizarre that we're starting to get a lot of this pushback. Like, let's stop dissecting what songs, who is about. It's like, you're literally selling the album based off of that. You're making
she built
song
her career
titles
off of that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, even if you wanted to get away from it, you're continuing to do it with this. So I don't know. I wasn't super impressed with it. It was kind of like the Justin Timberlake album for me too, in the sense where, like, I love both these people. I would attend both their concerts. I paid them both money to see them live. Neither album really did it for me.
Yeah, I mean, again, like, I think this is obviously just me pontificating, so who knows, but I think that, you know, there's been so many huge female artists that have dropped in the last few months, like arguably the top five, we've had like a number of them dropping huge projects. And I don't know if maybe she felt an urge to put out new material just to be a part of that conversation. Mm-hmm. Not to say that she wouldn't be anyway, like she's arguably the number one artist in the world, but it felt a little rushed to me in some capacity. It felt like a lot of filler on the albums, and putting out 31 tracks I don't think is a good idea for any artist, period.
I don't care who the artist is. And again, not taking a shot at Taylor's music ability here, but 31 is a lot. And in a world where we can't even decide if we can swallow a whole album at once, like a lot of people can't do that. That's why we are on these 6 week single music release schedules. I am in agreement. You know, I didn't even think about that. Just maybe the pressure of Beyonce putting out something big.
This ain't Texas. Hold 'em. Hey. So lay our cards down, 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 down.
Dua Lipa's album coming out.
Ooh, it's amusing. You think I'm gonna fall for an illusion.
A lot of mainstays, players, Taylor's like, well, I have all these songs written. They're already done. Maybe I just keep that conversation going. And it's feeling very Evermore-ish to me. Folklore was not my cup of tea, but at least it was very different for her at that time. And it was pandemic and everyone was like, let's get into it. And then Evermore was kind of like, oh, here's another surprise of the same tracks. And I was like, all right.
Yeah. I mean, look, no one's taking away from the fact that she's extremely talented. Right. And it would just be nice to see her stretch outside of her comfort zone, because she is so talented, because we know she can. And like you had mentioned before, she's done other genres. So why not give us a little variety? Like, I would rather the conversation be like, oh my God, did you see that Taylor put out 31 tracks and they were freaking, like, I mean,
across
bangers.
The board. Yeah. You
or
know.
Even if there was one that was just like, melts your face off. You know what I mean? Like,
melts
that's
your face off and Taylor Swift. Yeah. I don't think I've ever been in the same conversation before, but I agree with you. I'd love to see it.
Yeah. It can happen. I believe in her.
The closest being probably when Kendrick jumped on the Bad Blood remix.
I was going to say Bad Blood. Yeah. That's literally what came to my head was Bad Blood.
Because baby, now we got Bad Blood. Hey, I can't take it back. Look where I'm at. We was OG like DOC, remember that. My DOC was quite OD, ID my facts. Now POV of you and me, similar Iraq.
But also, again, no shade to Swifties, we love you. However, I was scrolling on TikTok, as one does, and I saw lots of videos of people people literally like crying, losing their minds. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if maybe I just don't understand Taylor's music the way they do, but there was not a single song that made me want to cry.
Right.
So I'm just curious what it is that makes them have such a visceral reaction.
I think it's a love for Taylor more than the love of the or connection to the song to some degree. And this is generalizing, obviously. But I also
love Beyonce. I don't cry.
Fair point. And you know, I do want to bring Beyonce into this conversation because I've seen it become such a trend lately that there's just this blind love of music, of specifically musicians, I should clarify, that it doesn't matter what they put out, that we're all just going to act like every single song is incredible. Every track is perfect just because we like that artist. And there's a difference between being a fan of the music and a fan of the artist. And sometimes this blind, I'm going to support it no matter what, it's perfection. I think it misses the mark a little bit for me. And what I liked about Midnights is Midnights was trending. It had that Taylor songwriter vibe to it, but it was starting to trend back to pop music, which is my vein and the music that is, you know, could be played at a club if there's a remix with it, or you're seeing it live on stage and it's huge production. And then it seems like she kind of went backwards a little bit with the Tortured Poets Department. But, you know, end of the day, we're only allowed our own opinion on this, but I am in agreement with you on that, Tam.
Yeah. Well, we also get paid for our opinion. So there's that.
Sam really said period. All right.
I'm just saying, like, to your point, it would be, I get it. Like I'm a diehard fan of Beyonce, but I will say that there's songs of hers that are not my favorite. Yep. And I think that's okay to critique someone that you love. It's okay to not blindly follow them like to the end of the world, just because you like that artist. Like they can make a mistake. They can fall. And that's the beauty of art, right? Is like you can go from left to right. You can land somewhere in the middle. You can go all the way to the right and like turn a bunch of people off. You can go all the way to the left and win them back. Sure. That's the beauty of art. And like, I feel like we're losing the artistry a little bit because they feel, I don't know, so emboldened by their fans that they know that they can't make a mistake. I don't know.
Well, and that's kind of what goes into the rollout of these things too. When you start dropping clues and QR codes on buildings everywhere, and there's only different vinyls and limited drops and whatnot. You know, I think you can argue that almost takes away from the music itself, because then you're just building this crazy creative narrative, which is incredible, that I'm sure it takes hours and numerous people to make it happen and put all these Easter eggs together. But when the final payoff is not there, at least generally to someone like me or yourself, that's where it kind of lands short a little bit, which is why I'm really excited about Billie's album. You know, Billie Eilish is putting out an album next month, and she's not releasing a single song off of it until the album comes out, which I think is so cool.
Yeah. And I love that tactic. Not to bring up Beyonce again, but Beyonce's done that before. Yeah. And I think it's a testament to them believing wholeheartedly in their art. Mm-hmm. Right. So, and I think it's really cool. You know, obviously not every artist can do that. Right. Like Billie is in the upper echelon. Taylor's
done it, to be fair, and credit where credit's due. Yeah. She's had a surprise album, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like you have to be in a certain category to be able to even do something like that. But it's still a lot of pressure. You know, you see people like Ariana Grande, who's in that same route that still releases singles. Mm-hmm. But I think that's really cool. I'm excited. We did hear a little tiny, tiny snippet when she did the Zane Lowe interview.
Not today.
I love it.
Maybe tomorrow.
I think she played like 14 seconds of it. But I like it. I like the guessing game. In a weird way, it takes the business out of it. Mm-hmm. And it feels like this is my art. I'm giving it to you.
It's controlled by the artist again, which I love.
Yes.
Speaking of being in control and making decisions, Kid Cudi made some choices. We're going to have a serious conversation about Taylor. I want to talk about Kid Cudi at Coachella. So if you didn't know, he jumped off stage deliberately. It wasn't like he fell off stage and I guess was trying to either crowd surf or jump down in front of the barricade. But he made choices the way he jumped. The headline reads, Kid Cudi breaks foot jumping off stage at Coachella, which is a badass rock star headline, right?
Totally.
If you just hear that, that's a story, man. And he'll be fine. And it sucks he broke his foot, but he'll recover, I'm sure. But that's a cool story. And then you see the video, and I can only describe it and liken it to a drunk toddler jumping into a ball pit at McDonald's. What was this, man?
Look, at the end of the day, Kid Cudi needs to remember that he's in his 40s. So you can't jump off of things the way you used to when you were 20.
Right.
It was just like, you know, it's one of those things where you're like, look at him. And you're like, why did you do that? Like, yeah. you did it to yourself. And, you know, obviously we wish him a speedy recovery. I love Kid Cudi. I'm such a huge fan of his. I always root for him to win. But I literally looked at that video. And I was just like, I felt like a mom in a weird way. Like, why did you do that? You did it to yourself.
Again, and when you see the video, it's just, and it's not like just viewer discretion. Like, it does, you don't see like a snap. Yeah. It's not one of those like, oh, you know, you just see him land weird, right? But he does this like flappy arm thing. Like when you were a little kid, I wonder if I could fly kind of vibe. Right. And it's just, the fact that it was happening or it happened when he was playing Memories, his track with David Guetta too, just the irony behind that is hilarious. I really hope he tells the story a lot cooler than the video looks. And that this is just, that's a moment where you gotta believe that he's like, man, I wish people didn't have iPhones. I just wish there was no video footage of it.
I don't know if there's like a curse at Coachella or something, but I actually saw Florence from Florence and the Machine break her foot at Coachella during
a
performance.
That's right. Forgot that happened.
I was in the audience and like, but she was on stage like rocking out and broke her foot. And not for nothing, I saw her like the next day in the elevator at Soho House.
Of course you did. Let me just pick up that story you dropped on the floor right there.
Sorry. Yeah, I know that sounds horrible, but the reason why I bring it up is because that's when I found out she had broken her foot. Because I was like, oh my God. I was like, she was in a cast. And I was like, oh, you actually broke your foot. I was at your show. We didn't know if you'd broken it or not. And she was like, no, I broke it.
I was
like, well, the concert was amazing. So it was worth it. But I will say this for Kid Cudi. He probably, you know, that adrenaline that goes through you, especially when you're performing for Coachella, you have all this energy. He probably did think he could fly. I don't know.
You never know. Speaking of casually seeing people out and about, we'll wrap on this. You had a really cool encounter with Olivia Rodrigo.
I did. So again, I feel like I'm like the name dropping part of this duo right now, but I do live in LA. So this is a very par for the course thing that happens in LA. We bump into celebrities all the time.
Sure.
I was at dinner on Friday night and I was leaving to go get my car from valet. And as I'm standing at the valet counter, I get caught in a pap storm, a paparazzi. Basically a pap storm is when a ton of flashing lights kind of start coming at you all at once. And having been in LA for so long, I knew immediately what it was. So I turned around to see who it was because, you know, obviously, duh, I got to see who it is. And I was like, it was a guy. And I was in this moment of like staring at him. And I'm like, I don't know who this is. Like, oh my God, am I that old? Like, have I hit that point where I don't know who the young stars are? And then I looked to his right and there was Olivia Rodrigo.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh yeah, I'm not old. I know who they are. But
I love how we made it more about you. Like, am I checked out? Did I not stay up on what's trending right now?
Look, as someone who's been a pop culture expert for all these years, that's like a moment that clicks in your head. Sure. Like, oh my God, am I past that point? It was Olivia Rodrigo. They come to this stand. And the reason why I do want to bring up this story is because already I'm a fan of hers. I think she's wonderful, but, multiple fans ran up to her at the valet stand. They're literally standing next to me, ran up to her at the valet stand. She was so lovely and so sweet to every single one of them. She took photos with every single one of them. One of the girls was a nanny and she was like, oh my God, the young girls I sit for are obsessed with you. And she was like, oh, do you want to make a video for them? And she literally made a video saying their name, saying, hi, I wish you were here. Would love to meet you. Like, she was so graceful and so lovely that I was... Yeah, like already I was, you know, already a fan, but I was even bigger fan at that point. So shout out to Olivia. She's really good at having that spotlight on her.
Is this the photo?
That is the photo.
Hey, I found it.
That is the photo. Yeah.
Olivia Rodrigo and boyfriend. I don't know who the guy is either. I know she was dating someone. Louis Partridge.
We're going to get roasted for this because I do think he's a big, like,
I'm sure he's
Gen
a big deal, but I wouldn't recognize
guy.
He looks like a young Johnny Depp almost. Tall.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Anyway, funny. I found the photo. That's great.
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah. So it was just like a moment because, you know, I have been around very large artists and celebrities that were not so graceful to their fans.
Yes.
So it's really nice to see it. And she seemed very genuine too. So shout out to Olivia Rodrigo.
That's what I was telling you too, off air too. I haven't gotten the chance to meet Olivia. She's one of the few I haven't yet. And not that I've ever heard anything bad or otherwise, but just, you know, you make your own assumptions and she's in her very big, you know, meteoric rise, pop star, girly phase. So you don't know what to expect, right? And it's easy to get caught up in that. So it's really nice and encouraging to hear that, you know, even when she's out to dinner and quote unquote, not looking for the attention, she's still taking the time for the fans. That's great.
Yeah, no, she was so lovely. Again, really nice to see because we don't always get that.
Very true. And those stories can be on a different podcast when we have nothing else left in our career. And we're like, we need some money. We'll tell some stories. There you go. We'll
retire. We do have stories, but we still interview them now. So we can't tell them yet.
We got to wait a few more decades for that one. Tamara, yeah, exactly. I love you. I missed you. I'm glad that you're back.
You too.
This part's not on video. But I need to still out. Tamara goes, we're not recording on video, right? Because like I just got out of the shower. My hair is like soaking wet.
It's true. I mean, I'm wet hair right now.
All right, Tam. We'll talk soon.
All right, bye.
To see more of this conversation, search Spell Podcast on all social networks and be sure to subscribe and follow. Plus, sign up at spoutpodcast.com to win tickets, merch, or even the chance to meet our guests. This episode of the Spout Podcast is presented by Alpha Media, written and narrated by Tamara Dia, produced by Mark Long, and created by Phil Becker.
Spout.